Now we are switching gears a little bit, and we are going to talk about application diagnostics, and we are going to ask what's going on. And we had a live demonstration here, eat your own dog food type of way, with productivity tools, but everything seems to be all set. So the stage is yours, Martin.
Thank you. So what you will be seeing is a crazy version of PowerPoint where I cannot project the slides in full screen because for some reason PowerPoint doesn't want to go full screen. So I'll do it in here. Animations will be gone, but we'll still go through it. So application diagnostics on Azure. The thing that I don't want to do in this talk is go into how do I monitor my server, how do I monitor that it's up and running, how do I monitor the RAM usage of my server. We'll touch on those things a little bit, but the point of this talk is going into how you would diagnose your application in Azure. Okay, that includes maybe how your server is behaving, but it mostly includes the fact that you are logging, the fact that you want telemetry of your application, the fact that your application is behaving the way you expect your application to behave. So that's the thing there. You can even see the hidden slides now. So I'll quickly introduce myself. I'm Maarten Baljouw. I came from Belgium. I'm a freelancer working for JetBrains and also working on my own startup called MyGets. I actually have a lot of application insights demos on data that we have in MyGet because we have some data in there to make it more tangible what I'm about to show you. Also run together with Mike over there the Azure user group in Belgium, and as you can guess, my big passion is in Azure and web development and so on. All right, the agenda for today. So I started with the fact that that this talk is not about monitoring your server, but it's about monitoring your application. And a big part of that is logging and tracing whatever is happening in your application. So before I was creating this talk, I was thinking, okay, should I focus on just application insights? But I think it's important to take one step back and focus on logging first so that you can see the value of application insights and the way it combines all the data that you push into application insights. And of course, afterwards, we'll go into the big platform there. So logging, click to add subtitle. I'm amazed by PowerPoint today. Why logging? Why would you log in your application? Why would you run traces and things like that? Well, the typical scenario there is for troubleshooting. That's why most people log and write no reference exceptions, for example, to a text file somewhere or to the event log for troubleshooting. Did something occur in my application that is not behaving the way it should be? Did something occur that I want to investigate and maybe fix for a future release or a future deployment? Other reasons why you may want logging in your application is for performance and cost planning. Is your application behaving the way it should be in terms of performance? Did your last deployment that you did it actually slow down the application? Even more, you can improve your application by looking at the logs. So, for example, if you see that a specific page is really, really slow, you can start optimizing that specific page and see why it is slow and improve on it and look into the logs if your next deployment actually fixed those things. Trends as well, customer experience, business decisions. Basically, the fact that your logs can provide inputs to many of these aspects is quite useful. Most people are using logging just for troubleshooting and seeing traces going through the entire application. But if you use that data for things like planning customer experience, for example, you actually have very rich logging and really valuable information. To give an example there, a reason why you may want to log for customer experience is I did a deployment, we changed the shopping carts. Are sales going up or down because we changed something in the application? That's a useful thing to know. And I think most people are not logging for that, but it's actually quite useful to do that. Here's what we typically do. And you can also already see the spoiler because the animation is not there. But typically, this is what we do. We trace something using system.diagnostics.traceInformation or traceWarning, and we write something happened in the application. Or we write error and then the exception message without the stack trace, without any information about the exception. So typically what you see in log files is something like error, null reference exception, or argument cannot be null. Okay, very useful. I actually went on my machine after installing some software on my machine, and this is a log file from MSI. So basically whenever you install an application on your machine, this is what a log file could look like. Awesome. Customer address updated. Okay, which customer? I have no idea. Which user logged in? I have no idea. System.nullReference exception occurred. Value cannot be null. Okay, that's really interesting, but I would like to know where this happens. No information about that in there. Then machine policy value debug is zero. Okay, nice to know if you know what the application is doing, but I have no clue. Then something about run engine action empty, command line empty. So this is a typical log file. You probably have those on your servers as well, and I think everyone has been logging stuff like this, and it's nice because you can say we have logging, but it's not really nice because there's not a lot of useful information in there. So does this help troubleshooting? Well, I would say no. Log files suck. They really suck. Typically, they're just simple text files containing random data that your application is spitting out, like we just seen, and there's no useful information in there. There's also no contextual information. What machine were we running on? What was the CPU usage at the time this thing happened? What was the HTTP request coming into IIS that's created a customer somewhere in this logging information? That data is not in there. It's stupid string data, unless you use something like event tracing for Windows, for example, or proper listeners on system diagnostics. There's not a lot of information in there. Typical log files don't have contexts. Which process, which thread? Okay, log4net, for example, emits those things by default. System diagnostics does something similar. But just knowing that the thread ID was number 8, well, that's useful if you're profiling or if you have a full memory dump or something like that, but it's not really useful to look at in a simple text file. The user performing the action is not in there, so all the context is missing in this simple string-based log file. There's no correlation between things that happened for this log file to be written, for this event to be written in the log file. Which user was logged in? Which request came in? What was the load on our application? Maybe the database was acting up, and you want to be able to correlate the different components of your system in order to efficiently use those log files. Then another one that a lot of people forget is, how do we get data off the machines? I know a lot of people who log locally to a file or to the event log on a server, and then once a day they have a batch file running somewhere on that server, dumping this onto a file share somewhere. That's all nice and handy if you want to have those log files and if nothing goes wrong. But if the server crashes, you've lost your log files. And if the server crashes, I actually want those log files to be able to improve the application. So that's not a good thing to have. How do you report and analyze over those things? How do you go over these things? Well, there's a lot of tools out there that do this for you, both third-party commercial things, as well as open-source stacks like Logstash and Elasticsearch and so on. But still, you have to spin up a Logstash cluster. You have to spin up an Elasticsearch cluster. You have to secure your Elasticsearch cluster, or you will have to pay bitcoins to the entire internet nowadays. You have to think about those things. It's really cumbersome to set up, to get the data off the machines and process it and analyze it and so on. Unless there would be something better out there, and there was actually some text behind this as well, the better thing, event tracing for Windows. What you see in the event log in Windows is actually much more interesting than what you have in this text file. Let me start zoom it for a minute, because that's a really small screen. What you see in the event log is the typical things you would see in a string log. You would see an informational event happened at this time of day with this specific message. It came from this specific part of the application and so on. But what's more interesting is that in event tracing for Windows, that event is actually annotated with contextual information. It's not everything you would want, but we get information about our system. We get information about which machine was this running on, did it come from an application, what was the contextual log or the component basically giving this information to this log file. And then we have the event data. We can post any type of event data to this event trace Windows, event tracing for Windows event log, and we can sort of build a viewer on top of it, and read this XML data and make it into something useful. Okay, this is not a pure message like you would see in a string log, like search indexer 6684, but this has meaning to the application developer. If you are building this in your application, you probably know what this 6684 means. You have a parser reading this XML data and optimizing your log file and making it readable and processable for both humans and machines. And that's the point that I want to try to make. Step away from the stupid string files and move into something like this, where you have contextual or semantic logging. There's a couple of solutions out there in the .NET space to do semantic logging. One of them is using the Windows Event Log or Event Tracing for Windows. There's the semantic logging application block in Patterns and Practices, and there's this tool called SiriLog. I'm a big fan of that last one, SiriLog, because it's low ceremony and easy to implement in your application. But let's look at the event source. So if you would want to log to the Windows event source, you would write something like this. I have a simple application here with a program, and in that program I have some business logic where I create a customer, then log the fact that I created a customer, send a welcome email, then log the fact that I sent a welcome email, then generate an invoice, so I start invoice creation, I do some stuff there. If the logo is missing, I log the fact that the logo is missing, and then I finish the invoice. Awesome. I'm using event tracing for Windows here, and it's really easy to log to this semantic logging that event tracing for Windows provides me. I have a create customer method that I pass in the customer ID, customer name, customer email, and I'm actually putting this data in my logging as well, so that afterwards I can simply go through this XML that's in the event log and see what's in there and analyze or reconstruct what was happening in the application. Now, this all looks nice, but wait until we go into this implementation of how we log. It's not too bad. It's actually quite easy. I have a class called CRM System Event Source, Inheriting Event Source. And in there, for every event that I may want to log in my application, I create a method. Like this one, create customer. I take the customer ID, customer name, whatever information that I want to provide contextually in this event tracing for Windows log. And then I write the events to the log. Each event has an ID, and I can put the data in there as well. Really simple. How does Windows know what to log, what the events mean, and how it can be correlated to your application? Well, there's some metadata involved. You can log this to event tracing for Windows, but you will see just data. You will not see the entire string. You will not see the meaning of name, email, ID, and so on. So in order to do that, we have to annotate our log methods with an event attribute. Also give it the event ID, say this is an informational event, and the message that will show in the event log whenever you are logging this information. That's nice, but in order to log, I have to create a method, I have to write the event, and I have to make sure that it's annotated with this event attribute. That's all nice for creating a customer, but I also have to do it for sending a welcome email, for logo missing, for starting invoice, for finishing invoice, for address updated, for whatever is in my application. So there's a lot of ceremony. I have to think upfront about what I'm going to log here and how I'm going to log it. So that's a lot of work. Also, what would happen if all of a sudden this send welcome email would also have to take the customer name, for example, or the customer address, or the entire shopping basket of that specific customer? I would have to recreate this class. I can keep the same event ID and so on, but I will have to version it somehow. So Windows knows what the message contains for this version and this version that contains the additional data. So while sort of useful, I get this contextual information, it's still kind of difficult to log all that information. And that's where SiriLog comes in. SiriLog is another logger. And that one is like any logging library out there, like Log4Net, like System Diagnostics.trace, and so on. The cool thing is that on top of the standard things you would expect from any logging component, where you would just write strings to the logging components and have some listener writing it to a log file or to a database or to the event log, the nice thing about SiriLog is that it contains structured data as a standard citizen in the thing there. I will give you a quick demo afterwards where you can see that the fact that I pass in my customer to my log message, I will actually be able to see that customer and query on the metadata of that customer in my data store that I have sitting behind my log file. So the structured data, what does it look like? Well, just like in event tracing for Windows, we can log a customer ID, we can log a name, we can log an email and things like that, or we could just dump the entire customer object in there, not care about it, let SiriLog handle it and write it to our backend store for analyzing the log file afterwards. All these things are rendered by a sync, and I can have a simple sync that just writes to console and just creates the stupid log files we had earlier. But I can also write both the log message and the contextual information to a database, or, as we will see in a little bit, to application insights, where it becomes really interesting because I will be able to correlate this specific customer with an exception, for example, and that's where things become interesting. Right, I'll give you a quick demo on Serilog so you know what it does and how it sort of relates to what we will see in App Insights afterwards. So I created the exact same program that I had in my other IDE. I have the same business logic where I create a new customer, send a welcome email, generate and send an invoice, throw a file not found exception, log that file not found exception, etc. Almost the same, except that in this case, I'm just logging information. I didn't have to create all this ceremony of having this specific class that could log a created event or could log an invoice created event and so on. I'm just like with any logger, logging information with stupid string data. Now, the stupid string data, in this case, contains a special annotation saying I'm logging my at customer. I'm actually telling Serilog that I will provide some data, which is a customer, and whenever you store this logging data, that data should be stored in a field called customer, if the sync supports it in the background. That means that when I log this, I will have my customer data as a contextual information on what I'm trying to log here. Same thing with my welcome email. In here, I'm logging my customer ID, but I could also just log the entire customer like this and pass in the customer. On top of that, in here, I'm logging the customer ID, but I'm also logging the customer. It's not in the string message that I will write to the log, but it's in the contextual information that will be passed on to the store, actually storing my logging information behind the curtains. All right, what does this look like if we run it? Well, it's quite easy. I configured a console logger on Serilog, and I will get some logs. It's saying, creating a customer, sent a welcome email to customer, starting invoice creation, and so on. Cool thing is, Serilog already recognizes the special tags that I put into these strings. Remember that I said there's a customer ID involved? Well, Serilog colors this thing green because it knows this is meaningful data for me. Even in my colored console log, I can see this is meaningful data. It's a customer ID. My entire customer that I was logging, well, this sync actually logs it as a full JSON object to my console log. Not very useful in this case because it's still a stupid string, but imagine we have something writing all this data to a database or to App Insights. My customer will be stored there, and I will be able to query customer IDs, names, emails, and so on, which is quite nice. Now, in this demo project, I configured Serilog to just log everything, write to console, and write to a rolling file. There's more syncs, so this is a sync basically saying whatever is logged, write it to this specific thing. We can write to App Insights, we can write to a lot of things. Actually, if I look at the NuGet packages that are installed in this project and search for serilog.syncs, you will find all the different syncs that are there, so you can log to Azure Analytics, to an observable, to RabbitMQ, to Elasticsearch, to Slack even. I don't know why you would want to log to Slack, but that's notifications galore, but still, you can do it using Serilog.
Searchability
on Slack, yes. But the cool thing is that I can pipe this data into any listener that I want, which is nice, because imagine I'm using App Insights, but 2 years from now on, we decide to switch to using Elasticsearch to log all that data. I can switch this thing. If I want to still have this log file on the server itself, I can also write to a rolling text file there to have this backup in case the big service that is ingesting all that data is not working or something like that. Other nice things are that we can use observables, for example. And, for example, whenever there's an event containing a file name as meaningful data, I may want to log this to my console as well. So in here, I'm just observing what events are being logged and reacting to that, responding to that by logging some additional information to the console there. You can do anything you want with Serilog there. Now, another nice thing about Serilog, and I will stop about Serilog in a little bit, another nice thing is that you can also enrich your data. So in here, I created a thread ID enricher and a machine name enricher. Let's look at this one. What I'm doing is, for every event that is logged, I am logging my specific data, like the full customer object or the customer ID or the customer email or the customer name and so on. But for everything I log, this enricher will actually add one additional meaningful property called machine name, and it will contain my machine name in this case. Imagine you are building a multi-tenant system and you want that every log entry that you have in your backend store contains the tenant identifier or the host name where the specific tenant is running. Create an enricher. There's no need to log every single log statement and add the tenant ID in there. Just create this enricher, put this meaningful data in your log file like this, and it will be there forever, and it will be able to be correlated in the backend afterwards. Right. Any questions so far? Good. Well, no questions there. Okay. Well, transition into some other stuff. Before we transition in that other stuff, Serilog solves a lot of things for us. It's no longer stupid string data. We have things that we can analyze. We have meaningful data in there. We can search for a specific customer, for a specific email, and so on. But still, how do I correlate all that information? I have that data, but how do I correlate it to, for example, what was the CPU usage? What was my memory usage? Which exception happened? And so on. Did our sales go up after we rolled out this thing? Did this specific customer do a sale and then get an exception? Things like that. How do we correlate that? Also, still the same problem, how do I get that data off of my machine? Okay, there's different syncs, and I can probably stream this data into Elasticsearch or App Insights or whatever, but I still have to set up all that data. And that's the missing piece in this talk that we're going to talk about called Application Insights on Azure. I have to have a system which I can feed this data and where I can correlate and analyze all the data that I'm feeding to this system. In Azure, there's a couple of logging system or log ingesters that allow you to analyze things. One of them is Azure Insights. Everyone using Azure already has Azure Insights. Whenever you use autoscaling, for example, whenever you use the CPU monitor that you see in the portal, that's Azure Insights. Basic analytics about your machine and how it's behaving. Not a lot of data, but there's some things you can do, like, for example, if the CPU usage goes beyond a certain threshold, you could autoscale, add more instances and stuff like that. Useful, but not that useful. Other stuff on Azure is Application Insights, which we'll cover in a bit and in a lot more detail. And there's also this thing called Log Analytics, or OMS, Operations Management Suite, where you can correlate all that tracing and all that server data with more analytics and do more querying. Going to focus on the middle one because that's related to our application, which is what I'm interested in. Right, Application Insights. Application Insights is a very simple two-word name for something that is actually quite complicated. It is both a service on Azure as well as an SDK and a client library that you can use in your application. It solves all the things around where to store this data, how to analyze, how to correlate all that data and so on, using the fact that this SDK and all these libraries can feed data into this service on Azure, and this service has some analytics running and tries to combine all that data into meaningful information that will help you improve your application or at least find out what's going on in your application. It enriches data, so if we would log into Application Insights, we will get information about which machine was this running on. Did we make any dependency calls to a database, for example, during this request? It tries to enrich and combine all that data together. More than that, if you have all the different libraries that gather data in your application installed, you will actually be able to do end-to-end tracing. Like, a request came in, the browser took this amount of time to render my JavaScript or my Angular page. I can make a request, goes to the server, I can correlate that specific request with what happened on the server, and even go until the database to see which query was run by which AJAX request on the front end. If you combine all that data, it's kind of neat. It also allows us to add some telemetry. We can do things like, okay, there was an invoice created or our search returned zero results. I can fire that as events into Application Insights so I can have a nice metric saying, okay, search has queries that don't match any data. Maybe my index hasn't been loaded or things like that. Very important to stress here is that Application Insights, while I will be demoing it in a web context and in a web application and so on, it also runs in mobile apps, in Windows forms, in whatever application you are building. There's SDKs for pretty much any platform out there. It's just a REST API ingesting data, and Application Insights is a service making that data available in a meaningful way. So if you are building mobile applications and you want to know what the render time of a specific view in your mobile application is, or you want to be able to correlate the RAM usage on the little device with whatever you are doing in the application, you can do that as well. I'll be demoing in a web context, but you can do it. All right, getting started. I'll give you a quick demo on App Insights. Getting started is quite easy. In the portal, you can simply create a new App Insights resource, select which data center region you want to store the data in, and be going. I already did this because it takes a couple of minutes to spin it up. And you will get something like this, where you have a basic overview page where you can see some standard metrics around your application. Not a lot of data in here, because the application is just a simple demo application that I only used during this talk. So, yeah, this was me preparing the session this morning. But we can see server response time, we can see page view load time, we can see server requests, we can see failed requests, and so on. We can click on the server requests, we can look into data, and we get the top operations. We can see the about page has been hit 24 times, 20% of traffic. Drill into it, look into the specific requests. Okay, there was a request at 8:47 a.m. Let's click that one, drill down. Response time was 7.931 milliseconds, which is awesome, really fast page. I can see things like what was the actual request URL. I can almost see the client's IP address. Microsoft strips off the last octet there for privacy reasons. But I can see what's happening there. If this page would be calling into a database, for example, I would be able to see the remote dependencies and see the database queries that were executed in this request. So even by just installing App Insights and feeding the basics of data into it, we already get a lot of interesting information about the application and how it's behaving and so on. Right. Now, before we drill into what information is in there and how we can get that information and so on, I want to show you one important thing. Usually, I'm not a big fan of tabs that are called getting started. I feel like I'm an expert and I'm a pro, so getting started is for dummies. Never read the manual, just ask support if you need something. Figure it out. In this case, App Insights, getting started is actually a very useful tab because it provides me with all the different collectors of data that can feed data into App Insights. So the simplest way to get started with App Insights is in Visual Studio, right-click your project, say enable App Insights, it will do all this for you. That's nice for greenfield development and so on, but if you have a running application, an existing application, you want to add all these different parts in there, well, this is the way to start there. So what can we do? We can monitor and diagnose a server-side application in our case. Okay, let's see. We can monitor exceptions. If we want to monitor exceptions, we have some guidance for MVC5, for Web API, for WebCF, and so on how we can integrate tracking exceptions in our application with App Insights. Same thing with dependencies. If we're interested in which API calls am I making in the background? Which database calls am I making in the background? Am I using Azure Storage, for example? Which calls am I doing to Azure Storage? I have to install a little application called Status Monitor. Okay, still easy, but we get the instructions. If I'm interested in that data, I have to take this step. If I'm interested in tracing, like for example with SiriLog, I have to install some stuff and bind it to App Insights. There's some guidance for system diagnostics, for NLog, for Log4Net. I would like to see SiriLog there as well. But it's quite easy to implement. If I am interested in IIS requests, well, go to requests, see how I can add it. Interested in performance counters, click this one, see how I can add it to App Insights. Server-side data. Now, I'm also interested in client-side data. What's the browser render time? How is my Angular application behaving? Well, I can go there, look at the JavaScript that I have to include, and also collect that data. So it's really useful to go through this getting started tab to see what data you can actually ingest into App Insights and see how to collect that data. But enough of that. Let's see how it works in the application. What do I have here? Oh, yeah. One important thing to note, do I have to run on Azure in order to be able to use App Insights? Well, no. Of course, App Insights is a service in Azure, and analyzing the data you are collecting is something that you do through the Azure portal or through Power BI, for example. Do you have to run your application in Azure? No. If you have an IIS server on-premise, or you have a mobile application on which you want to gather some information, you can do so. App Insights is nothing more than a REST service and some tooling around it to feed data into that REST service in the Azure data center. So if you have your own IIS server, Magnus?
I guess the only thing to think about then is if you have any, what data you actually put in the logs.
Yes, yeah.
Any secret or, confidential data in the logs.
That's another thing.
That's an issue for you, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, so what Magnus says for the viewers at home or the Channel 9 watchers afterwards is that you indeed still have to think about what data am I logging, so don't log passwords and stuff like that because you're actually feeding that into an external system. So think about not storing those things in there as well. But bottom line is, if you want to feed data, if you want App Insights to ingest data, just install an agent or configure the logging and feed that data to App Insights, and you can analyze it, Azure or not Azure. Right. The data that's being collected, as we've seen from this Getting Started page, are things like performance counters. What's the CPU usage? What's the memory usage? And so on. If you're interested in, for example, measuring the number of Generation 2 garbage collections, you can configure that performance counter and feed it into App Insights. If you have your own performance counter somewhere in the application and you want to feed that into App Insights, just configure it and it will be logged and it will be available in all the data that you have in there. So that's kind of useful. Requests will be in there. If you're running a web application, both client-side and server-side, the request URL, what happened in the page, was there a JavaScript error, for example, you will get that data in App Insights. You will get traces, more on that later. Exceptions, both server-side as well as client-side, dependency tracking, custom metrics and events, etc. So a lot of data, and the important thing is that you think about how these things have to be correlated. App Insights correlates a lot of that data for you, but if you do logging, your own logging, you still have to use a structured logging solution so you can also correlate your own logs with what App Insights is monitoring. All right, the different views in App Insights. How much time do I have left? 25 minutes. I will skip some slides and just do more demos. Right, so what do we have in App Insights? Well, first of all, if you open it, you get the overview page that shows you some basic information about how the application is behaving. I'm actually going to go out of my demo here into a production application so we have some more data. And we can see things like server response time, page view load times. We can see some spikes in there. We can see the number of requests. We can also see that during the night, there's less. I will get a new pricing model. Awesome. That there's less requests during the night and that it's going up right now. I can do some simple things like setting a time range. So I'm interested in the last 30 minutes in my application. Well, I can get the server response time, see what happened there, the number of exceptions, etc. One thing to note, this application is not behaving badly because of the large purple, pinkish failed requests there. App Insights, by default, will also track your 404 pages on the application, so those will also end up as an exception in there. You have to decide if you want that information or not, but I think it's useful to see how people are abusing the application as well. Right, so we have the overview, and from the overview we can do a couple of navigations. We can go to the server response time and see, for example, was that the doorbell? Awesome. We can see, for example, what the response time currently is in the last half hour, and we can compare it with the last half hour from yesterday. So we see this small dotted line in there. So we can see that yesterday my request times were better than in the current half hour. So I don't know what's happening there, but it's interesting to know. I can see dependency durations. I told you that you can track whatever is happening in the background. Well, App Insights is logging this information for me, shows me that my dependencies on average take 21 milliseconds to reach and to get data from. I can see the slowest requests here, so this one takes 6.39 seconds. That's not good, so I should probably be looking into that. I can click there and try to find out why this request is slow. I can see a specific request that was actually slow. Click through, go to it, and see what's happening in there. If it loads, I was told Finland has really fast internet, but let's try that again.
Application is okay. It's a bit slow sometimes.
Application is, yeah.
Like
yeah.
Getting reports and something is sometimes like it takes.
Yeah, that's a valid point. So App Insights, it ingests the data. It's not real time. So the data you put in there will not be there the second you put it in there. It will take a couple of minutes before the data shows up. So you always have a little bit of a delay. And every once in a while, the delay grows a bit depending on how busy the platform is. But the nice thing, this slow request, I can see what request it was. I can see the client IP address, but I can also see all the different dependencies that were called. And in this case, that's quite a lot. And drill into that, see what the request was, see why this request was slow, and so on. So even without logging my own business logic data in there, I can already see what's happening in the background and see how it correlates to this request being slow. So that's really useful information to have. Same thing here. I can also just go into the different dependencies and just see why this dependency is being slow. As you can see, we are using blob storage, we are doing table storage and so on, but we're also calling REST APIs on different other domains as well. So we can see those in there as well. If we would use a database, we would see database queries in here too. All right. That's one entry point, one view on all the data that we put in App Insights. We also can look at the page view load time. This is more client-side. We can look at things like, okay, what was the total page view load time? Of that load time, how much time was spent in the client processing building the client-side page in the browser? How much time was on the network? How many exceptions did I have in the browser, and what exceptions were they? You can see all that data in there. Server requests, I can just look at the top requests in the application and see what's going on there. An interesting one from last week. So what we do with MyGit is we provide private NuGet and Bower and NPM feeds where you can host your own private in-house packages. And we had a customer who was putting in a lot of requests. When was this? Last Thursday? So that was, let's put 11th to 12th. So 11 January to 12 January. If we filter our data to that time period, you will see that we had one request, one specific operation that was called 6.06 million times on one day, which accounted 50% of our traffic. That is nice to see, but the nice thing about App Insights was that I didn't have to put alerts there. We just looked in there and we're like, okay, this is strange. Click on it, we found that this was indeed one request to one specific feed of one of our clients. In there, again, if it loads.
Do you invoice by request?
We don't invoice by request. We should have done this in this case, yeah. So what we saw was that the response code for all of these requests was a 302, which means we redirect you to somewhere else, which means probably this was an unauthenticated request, some misconfiguration. Although, maybe it were hackers or DDoS or whatever. So we went into the details of a couple of these requests and found out that they all came from a specific IP address, which we were able to map to the customer's location. So we knew it was some CI server, for example, acting up and doing some strange things in the back. Took the phone, called the customer, they fixed it. And if we look at the time range, of the last 7 days, for example, you will actually see the drop in those requests. So here we did the call, and there they stopped doing this misconfiguration. So really nice to see and really useful to have that information without having to put any effort into capturing all that information because the SDK already did that for us. Okay, other views we have there. Yeah, exceptions, of course. Failed requests. Nice thing is we can see the requests that actually failed, but we can also see the dependency failures and the exceptions. If we have an exception, we can click it, see the stack trace, see where it is coming from, and try to optimize our application. So really useful information again to have. Right, so that was just the overview page, by the way. There's other views on all this data as well. There's one where I really like the fact that it says zero detections. App Insights has some smart logic running in the data center that detects anomalies in the data that you push into App Insights. Right now, it's not a lot of anomalies that it detects, but there's a couple. For example, slow page loads. App Insights will look at the average response time of a specific page, and if all of a sudden it starts increasing, they will send you an email saying maybe something is wrong here. Same thing with slow server response time, dependencies that are acting up and taking a long time to load. And if something like that happens, we actually had that happen, you will get an email saying, for example, that there was an abnormal rise in failed request rates in this application. They will tell you what went wrong and how many requests were actually failed or affected by this specific thing that was happening in the application. There's a big blue button in there saying see the analysis. I can click that and see what was going on. And typically App Insights will pinpoint almost where the issue lies. So for example, if we have a slow database and we get failed requests because of that, if I click the see analysis button, I will probably see the fact that this dependency is acting up and I know my database is broken, which is really, really cool. It's not there yet, in my opinion. There's a couple of detection rules in there. I would love to see, A, more of those detection rules out of the box, because they're really useful in analyzing what's going on. And I would like to be able to write my own rules in there, because I know my application best, and I know in which case something may be wrong, and yeah, capture that information automatically if possible. But it's very promising. And ideal, this window is as empty and as blank as a new page in a book. Right, other things, web tests. I can run some automated web tests against my application. Just do simple pings to a specific page and see if the page is running or not, and I can see that, see what the average response time is, etc. Just a simple uptime check in my application. What's nice, I can also record a web test in Visual Studio, upload that to the portal and run a web test. So for example, if I have 5 pages and there's a specific condition on page number 3 of that thing, for example, testing a login or testing a checkout button, I can upload those tests as well, and App Insights will run them every 5 minutes for me from different locations, seeing if my order process is still working, for example. Other things, there's the application map. I'm a big fan of this one because App Insight learns about how my application is structured. In our case, we have a server-side application, multi-tenant. We have some AJAX requests coming in, and we use a lot of table and blob storage in the back. Well, App Insights actually shows me that. It shows me that I have the server handling 5.4 million requests in the last 24 hours with 39% failures. Now, I have to warn you, the business we are in is serving 40% 404s to our customers because they check if a package exists on a feed, and typically it does not. And the client side is not intelligent enough to lower that amount, so we get a lot of failures there. But still interesting to look at. And from here, we can click through and analyze what those failures are. I can also see my various clients. We can see that we have web tests as a client, and all of them are passing. And I also have clients in a browser. I can expand this and look at the different clients and see that there are AJAX calls. I can look into the AJAX calls and see where they are coming from, how many of them are failing, and so on. So I can drill up to the client, or I can drill down from my server side to, for example, this Azure table, which requests are we running, click into that and get all the details of that. So an application map of your entire application, all the different components and how they are behaving. Yes?
Those false positives, because in many cases it is such that they're, you know, failed, but some of them are expected. How do you differentiate between them, between the failures you should react to?
Good question. So the question is, of these failures, I already said there's a lot of 404s in there. How do you differentiate between valid 404s and information that you're actually interested in or not? That depends on your application. You know your application best. There are a couple of tricks on the client side, for example, where you could filter out those requests and not send them to App Insights. I can show you afterwards. I will not cover it because it's not difficult to do, but it's a lot of background information you need. But you can actually filter the pipeline of the data that's being sent to App Insights so that you can do things like sampling, only send 20% of my requests to App Insights, for example, or filter out those specific 404s where I know it's a valid 404 and I don't want to log it. You can do those things. Yeah. Right, other views in here. Of course, on the left, we have some other views there. There's the live metrics stream. It's kind of neat because it shows me the live number of requests, number of request duration, request fail per second, exception rate, etc. Like live right now on the application. It's kind of cool to see the graphs moving and so on. But yeah, unless something is really happening at this point of in time, I don't see a lot of value in this view, but it's nice and it's geeky and it's cool to see moving graphs. But there we are. Right. By the way, I didn't mention this one. If you use the latest pre-release version of the client SDK that feeds all this data into App Insights, you will also be able to see live queries on the database, live queries on table storage, and so on. So you can see what's happening on the dependency side of things as well. Right, and I see that I'm nearing the end of time. Almost 10 minutes. Okay, let's not go into all these things. You can explore them by yourself. There's things like looking at the different failures. You can look at the servers, look at the server load, and so on. So the typical things you would expect. Now let's go back to our tracing and see how we can feed our own data into App Insights. So what I did here was build an application in ASP.NET Core. And what I did was include one simple NuGet package called Microsoft App Insights ASP.NET Core. If you're running a traditional standard classic .NET application, it will be Microsoft App Insights ASP.NET. That's all you have to include to be able to push data out to App Insights. In my startup, I told App Insights that, yeah, I'm actually doing something fancy here. I'm saying, look, App Insights, if I'm on my development environment, set developer mode to true. Cool thing is that it will add one property to all the data that is being sent to App Insights called developer mode, so I can filter that out if I'm analyzing whatever is happening. So for example, if I would push my development data to the same App Insights that I'm using for production, which I would probably not do, but imagine you are doing that, and you are emulating some exception, and your colleague goes into App Insights and sees the exception rate going up, well, he can look at the developer mode property and see that it was me just developing. Also for the alerts, Microsoft will look at the developer mode flag there and not send you false alerts that originated from a developer machine. So I'm adding application insight setting. What this does is read my instrumentation key, which is sort of an API key to App Insights, and pushing that into the configuration. Next thing I did, and I'll cover this one in a little bit, next thing I did was say that I'm interested in request telemetry and exception telemetry. So App Insights is basically capturing requests and exceptions and pushing those out to my application. What about dependencies? What about server load? What about all those things? Well, I'm running this as a web application, so an Azure web application. In the portal, there's a tab called App Insights. If you put your API key there, Azure web applications will send all that data as well to App Insights. If you're not running in Azure websites or you're running on your own machine, you have to install this agent that we saw, this status monitoring, pushing all that data into App Insights. Right, that's what we have. This will track all my server-side events. On the client side, I also added one thing. In my layout page, I added one snippet of code that says, show me the App Insights JavaScript. So this emits the snippets that also sends the client data into App Insights. And I did one additional thing there. If my user is logged in, I'm also setting an authenticated user context in App Insights, so I get the full identity name as well with all the login information that I'm sending, both server-side as well as client-side. So this is to have that user information in the client-side information as well. Apart from that, nothing changed to this application, and I will get data from this. If you navigate to my fancy demo application, this will be logging to App Insights. Come on. Slow first startup. Okay, boilerplate, just a standard template, but this is sending request information to App Insights. And if I go to my demo application, you will see those requests showing up in the overview timeline, etc. All right. Now, I started this talk with the fact that we want to do tracing and stuff and be able to correlate our own business logic logging with all the context that is happening inside the application on the technical side. Well, in my home controller, I am making use of SiriLog, and what I'm doing, I have the same business logic there. I'm logging information saying I created a customer called customer, and I'm pushing that entire object in there. Same thing with this welcome email. I'm putting my entire customer object in there. Nice thing is, if I now go to my events and I search, for example, for whatever happened there in terms of traces, I will be able to look at where is one of these logs? Where is it? Okay, here's one. Creating customer, and I get my full object in there. Awesome, but that is just a string. Nice thing is, if I click on this, and I look into the event details, I will get my customer email, customer ID, customer name, and so on. So I can see this trace originated from this customer. Nice thing is, there's also a query language in App Insights where I can search for a specific customer ID and find out all the different traces that that customer has. So if I get a support request from a specific customer saying, okay, the application crashed when I did this and this, I can actually search for that customer and look at the logging that was specific to that specific customer, which is really nice. Same thing with exceptions. I can annotate that information as well in exceptions and get the exception data correlated to my business logic, which is really, really valuable. All right, five more minutes. I blabber too much. I will skip a couple of things. There's a couple of things where you can also send custom events like the number of invoices created and so on and create your own metrics on top of that. Read the documentation, it's really clear on that. There's one really cool thing I want to show you before I end this talk, which is called App Insights Analytics. So App Insights Analytics, and I will do it on production, is a query engine on 90 days of logging data. On an application like I just showed you, that's not a lot, but on an application that has a lot of requests, that's a lot of data. Cool thing is, I can just run almost free format queries on top of that to see what is going on in the application. So for example, there's a couple of demo queries in there. Give me the top 10 countries by traffic in the last 24 hours. I run this query. It's a nice query language where I say, okay, of all my requests, pipe that into a filter, pipe that into a summary, pipe that into a top 10 filter, and then render a pie chart. Pretty nice. I get the top 10 countries by traffic in the last 24 hours. If I want to do that not by client's country or region, but by, for example, operation name, I will get the top 10 requests in my application. And that's really fast, given that it's running on 90 days of data. So I get my top requests, and I can see that I have a lot of symbol index NuGet V3 feeds being used. So I can see that information in there. Other queries, I can look at the performance. Give me the summary of all the performance buckets in my application, see which pages are slower than which other pages. I don't think this time chart is really useful, but I can also remove that and just render a plain table, and I get that information. I get that this day, most of my requests were in this percentile of request speed. Now, that's all nice, and there's a couple of queries in there. I can look at the past exceptions and so on. The cool thing is that I'm also able to craft my own queries there. So, for example, if I will go back to my App Insights that I had for my demo application and open my analytics there, if the internet allows me. It's all you streaming people hogging the internet. All right. So imagine, I had this custom trace data where I was logging the customer ID together with the invoice that was being created and so on. All that data is in App Insights Analytics as well. So if I run a free format query and I say that I want to get all the different metrics that say invoice was created by customer ID, which is something that I put in there, I can get that data, summarize it, and render it as a pie chart. Now, my application is kind of silly because it creates a new GUID for every customer and every single request I do, but I would be able to look at the different invoices that were created by customer, and I can find out which customer was using this specific feature more than another customer, for example. So I can log those things as well. Nice example from production. You can join as well. So this one actually joins requests with exceptions. So from requests, give me all those that were not successful from the last one day. join it with the exceptions, and then give me the exception count so I get the exception that was thrown most in the application. I can query this, run it, again on 90 days worth of data, and get all that information. I just selected requests, so I now get all the different requests and all their properties, so I have to select the entire query, of course. But I will get the different operations and then the different exceptions they threw and how many times they were run. In this case, I'm ordering ascending, but I would probably be more interested in descending. So this exception is being thrown 90,000 times, so I should probably look into this and why this is happening. Interesting data, free format query on this massive bulk of both telemetry as well as logging and tracing data. One additional example that we have, so in MyGit we have a feature called feed proxying. So you can create your own NuGet feed and then proxy, for example, NuGet.org, a Telerik feed containing UI components and so on. And maybe that feed also proxies another MyGit feed. We actually had a customer doing that. One feed proxying another feed, proxying another feed, proxying the first feed, and we didn't detect that loop. So we were basically DDoSing ourselves at one point in time. Well, we used App Insights, ran a query to get the requests by client ID, and we saw that the top item in there was, well, not in this case, but in that case back then, it was our own server IP. So we quickly found, okay, we are basically doing requests, so it's probably a loop like that. And by drilling into that data in this way, using just free format queries, we were able to identify which feed was misconfigured, and we were able to disable that and get out of that infinite loop, basically, in terms of requests. So really useful information to have. So with that, what didn't we cover in this talk? Well, we didn't cover the telemetry pipeline. So as I said, you can filter and say, I only want to send 20% of my data to App Insights. You can do that. If you want to do filtering, like not send specific events to App Insights because they contain confidential information or you're just not interested in them, you can filter those as well. I didn't show you the Visual Studio plugin for App Insights. There's actually a plugin in Visual Studio that will allow you to run queries as well that can do the configuration for you. Important thing, if you uninstall that plugin, you will not be able to reinstall it unless you reinstall Visual Studio, and that's why I was not showing it, because I was stupid enough to uninstall it. There's also continuous exports. I said there's 90 days worth of data. If you want data from last year, well, enable continuous exports. It will write all this data to Blob Storage, and you will be able to query it afterwards in your own system that you have there. Another really nice thing in this query engine that I showed you is that you will be able in the future to also upload your own data in there and correlate that own data with whatever is in App Insights, which is kind of nice, because I could dump data from my CRM system, upload it in there, and see which exception failed for which customer case or whatever, correlate that data, make business decisions or technical decisions based on joining that data together. Also, imagine you have a front end and a back end or microservices and you have 20 App Insights that you want to correlate. Well, you will be able to upload data from one App Insights into the other one and join the data and see how your entire application is behaving, for example. Right. In conclusion, I have 2 seconds left. In conclusion, log. Don't just log strings, do structured logging, log all the things that matter to your application, to your business logic, and push it into a system like App Insights or Elasticsearch or whatever to be able to correlate all that information with telemetry and do things like troubleshooting, performance analysis, finding out why your application is failing, improving your application or improving even your business or business decisions based on all that data. And that's about it. Thank you very much, and if you have any questions, you can do so now, I guess, or during lunch. Thanks.
All right, I think people are still putting lunch a bit in.
Is this working? So, do you have questions?
And like 2 questions.
That helped. Thanks, Carl. All right. Personally, I haven't seen analytics used that much. I think it's pretty new and people aren't really used to using it yet. I wanted to ask, how many of you guys that are, or how many is using Application Insights? Like, all right. And how many of you guys have used analytics to find out stuff? like one out of, I don't know, 15, 20 that had hands up. So if you are using Azure, Application Insights is one of the cool tools to check out. We use it a lot. And then analytics is something that even if you use Application Insights, it needs to be looked into a bit more because, as you'd see, it was a powerful tool. All right, so let's go and have lunch. I think we continue at 12 o'clock, eh?
Yes, so I put up a countdown for the live stream, guys, so we'll be back in an hour.